As like Mike said, we have this church focuses on the outside of these walls, and I believe that as that's just half of it, right? I think that we have an obligation as we read through the Word of God to have a balance of outreach and inreach. So we're focusing a lot on that and this year. A few years ago, one of the things that we said that we were kind of a blanket statement that's going to cover us as a congregation as we grow together and move forward, and that is that we were going to be we committed to being a people who are going to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. Comfortable with being uncomfortable. And recognizing that being uncomfortable is a pathway that God uses to shape us and mold us into the people that he wants us to be. When you look at Paul and how he writes throughout Scripture, you see that when he talks about holiness, it's not about understanding who you are and trusting that God has just made you that way, and so it's okay to remain there. But holiness is all about transformation. It's about allowing Jesus Christ to come in and do an incredible work in our lives. So that's kind of a good introduction for this morning's message. If you have your Bibles and you'd like to turn with me to the book of Zechariah in the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 13. And I'm going to read it from the New King James. Do you have it from the New King James? Can you swap that real quick? If not, that's okay. I have it in here. So if you can just follow along with me. But we are a church that is committing to allowing God to do whatever he wants to do in our lives. And at the outset, that may seem a little bit scary. At the outset, that may seem a little bit uncomfortable to say, hey, God, here is everything that I am. Here is my entire makeup, my mind, my will, my emotions, my physical body. God, I'm allowing you, I'm laying it all in your hands, and I'm yielding it to you and saying, God, have your way in any way, shape, or form. Because above all else, he is good. He's righteous. His ways are perfect. He is compassionate. He is gracious, merciful, and loving. And when you understand the magnitude of the love that God has for you, that allows you to reject any fear and say, God, here, have all of me. Not just bits and pieces of me. Not just I'll allow you to have this area, that area. But God, I'm giving you permission to have it all. Do what you want with my life. I had the awesome privilege yesterday morning to be a part of Celebrate Recovery's one-year anniversary yesterday morning. For those of you who don't know, Celebrate Recovery is a ministry that we have that on Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock. And, you know, contrary to belief, a lot of people think that Celebrate Recovery is focused mainly on substance abuse and alcohol abuse. But there is actually a low percentage of people in Celebrate Recovery throughout the world who are substance abuse and alcohol abuse, but a lot of it focuses on character traits and areas of sin that you were unaware of, oblivious sins like envy and laziness and pride, control, you know, and the list goes on and on. Things that are deeply embedded from us that come from, you know, our upbringing and our context and how we lived, and they're just deeply rooted there. And so Celebrate Recovery is a ministry that is aimed and focused around helping and walking through people get through those struggles. And so yesterday they had their one-year anniversary, and it was a little special of a service, and they had four people share their testimonies. And they were incredible testimonies. And the reason why they were incredible is not just because they were so messy, right? But they were so incredible is to see that they gave God all the glory in their story. And that Jesus Christ was the one that they pointed to throughout their testimony. And they have been through the messiest of messy lives. And Jesus came in and did an amazing work in their lives. And we got to thinking, and me and one other person after lunch were just talking about how messy Christian lives are. A bunch of messy people in this place right now. And that, you know what? And I'm going to say, that's okay. Because you have a Savior who loves you, whose grace is expansive enough to walk through with you. His mercy extends so much further than you can possibly imagine. He's compassionate and he's kind in how he deals with the mess in our lives. We are a bunch of messy people. And that's okay. And that's okay. So this morning we're going to look in Zechariah chapter 13. And it comes from a prophet who God set up to declare a bunch of stuff to the Israelite nation. And that explained it, didn't it? what you'll see throughout the Old Testament is that prophets will have foretold of God being this refiner. They foretold of God being a God who is going to refine his people. And so I'm going to read it from here, from the New King James. There it is. Thanks, man. All right, here it goes. It says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. And then I'm going to turn my hand against the little sheep, and it shall come to pass in all the land." Now, before I continue on, what Zechariah is referring to here is Jesus Christ. In Matthew, when Jesus is being arrested, Jesus actually refers to this passage of Scripture in Zechariah, and Jesus is that shepherd that was struck. And when, if you remember the story of Jesus going to the cross and him's arrest, what happened to all the disciples, all of his sheep that were following him? They scattered, didn't they? They all just went in different directions out of fear and all kinds of things. And so this is referring to Jesus Christ and his arrival onto this earth, and is referring to what's going to happen when they see Jesus Christ be crucified in such a humiliating way. To be crucified on a cross was to be said that you are cursed. And so here it is, it's referring to that situation. Then he says, "Then the sheep will be scattered, and I will turn my hand against them. And it shall come to pass in all the land." Now, I don't want to just breeze over that, because I think this is some of the most beautiful string of words in the entire Bible. "And it shall come to pass." Amen. Amen. "It shall come to pass." And I think there's somebody here today who just needs to be reminded of that. You may be in a situation where you find yourself that you don't know how you got into where you are. You don't know why you're going through the things that you're going through. It's devastating, it's hurtful, it's painful. But let me remind you that it came to pass. It came to pass. It came for a reason, as I hope you will understand by the end of this message. It came for a reason. But it will pass, and it is temporary. And so he says here, he continues on, and he says, "It shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that 2/3 of these people who scatter, my followers, 2/3 of them are going to be cut off and die. But 1/3 shall be left. A remnant shall be left. Those who remain." And he says, "I will bring that 1/3. Those chosen ones, those elected ones. I'm going to bring the 1/3 through the fire. And I will refine them as silver is refined. And test them as gold is tested. And then what they're going to do is they're going to call on my name. And I will answer them and I will say, 'This is my people.' And each one will say, 'The Lord is my God.'" The 1/3 that will be left, "I will bring them through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested." And so what we're reading here is the executing of God's righteous judgment. Okay, God, first and foremost, before I continue, please understand that God is perfectly righteous. He is the perfect judge, and everything that he does is on the foundation of righteousness and justice, as it says in Proverbs. He rules on a throne that is righteousness and justice. He's perfect in justice, okay? And so here he's executing a righteous judgment. And it shows here that 2/3 of the people are going to scatter and run. But 1/3 of those people, he's going to spare. He's going to keep. Those are the ones who are going to be shown the mercy of God. His grace is going to abound to them. These are going to be the committed ones. And he says here that it's not going to be a bed of roses for this 1/3 who choose to follow me. For this 1/3 who choose to stick with me, this 1/3 who choose to worship me, who choose not to run away, who choose not to be scattered off. This 1/3, this leftover, this remnant that I will have for myself, It's not always going to be a bed of roses. But he says, I am going to refine them and purify them as my people. We are talking this morning about, as we step into a new year and we look into this new year, and nobody knows what this new year is going to look like. Nobody knows what you're going to face. You have no idea what's coming down the road next month, 2 months from now, 6 months from now. You don't know. None of us know. But what we're doing as a church body, collectively, as the body of Christ, is we are recommitting our lives to Him again. As we should do each and every morning that we wake up and say, God, today I'm yours, have your way. God, today I'm yours, here I am, have your way. But this something we're going to do this morning is a corporate, it's a collective agreement together and saying, hey, God, we're going to allow you to take Cornerstone. We're going to allow you to take Cornerstone through the fire. Because we know that you are perfect and that you're good and all your ways are good and all your ways are righteous and all your ways are compassionate and gracious and merciful and loving. And so God is talking to us about, he's saying here that these leftovers, they will be refined as silver and tested as gold. Now let's look at this refining process for just a minute, because I had no idea what a refining process was like. And so I did some research. And so here in this passage of Scripture, as in numerous passages of Scripture in the Old Testament, God is referred to as the refiner. Now, a refiner's job is to take precious metal, gold, silver, other precious metals, and his job is to purify this precious metal. His job is to actually bring forth the best of this precious metal, to bring forth its best. His job to bring forth the perfection of a precious metal. And so the process that goes on is that what a refiner will do is he'll take that precious metal and he will turn up the heat and apply heat to it. And it gets hot and hot and hot and hot. And so hot that the precious metal, gold, silver, whatever it is that he's using there, is melted down. It's reduced to this liquefied state. And what happens is that in this liquefied state, as the heat is applied to it, as it's set and it's put into a furnace of flames, the heat is turned up and it is reduced to a liquid state. And then what takes place is that the impurities of that metal are then drawn to the surface. They are the impurities that take up, that actually are worthless parts and components of this metal. When it's burnt up and melted down to its liquefied state, they come to the surface, and it's called dross. The word for it is called dross, and dross is the scum that exists within that precious metal. It is the leftover waste. It is the worthless components of this precious metal. The worthless components of this precious metal that are drawn to the surface and revealed. And so then the job of the refiner is then to scrape it off and to peel it off and to discard it. And here God is referred to as a refiner who is going to take his people through the fire. And he's going to purify us and refine us. And there are times when this path to purity will travel the road through the furnace. And the Bible refers to it as the furnace of affliction, where your trials, your tribulations, and all those things in life that are devastating, difficult, hurtful, painful, you name it. And the heat gets turned up in your life. God is saying that He has a purpose for that. And what I want you to see here this morning is that God is the one who takes His people through it. God is the one who takes His people through this refining process, because it is His desire to bring forth that which is beautiful in you. And that is Jesus Christ. That is Jesus Christ. And I want you to see this morning that the path to purity that travels through the furnace is actually a privileged place to be. It's actually a privilege. Now, before you start looking at me square, Let me just give you a few reasons why it's a privilege to go through the furnace. All right? And the first reason is this, is that only metals that can be used are the ones that go through the fire. Only the metals that can be used go into the furnace. You see, a refiner would not waste his time on metal that would not be profitable to him. He would not put a metal and put his metal through the furnace to refine it so that all of its impurities, all the scum, all the junk to be removed from it if he did not see something within that metal that was profitable to him. You see, when God has you in the furnace, he sees something within you that he wants to bring forth and draw out. For one, he sees the impurities and he wants to draw that forth. But he also sees his son, Jesus Christ, inside of you. And he wants the image of Jesus Christ to come out. You see, it is said that the refiner knows when this refining process is complete. When in that liquefied state, he stares directly into it and he actually sees his own reflection. That's when the process of refining is complete. And so God is looking to remove the dross from each and every one of our lives. Those deeply embedded sins that we are oblivious to. The ones that we're not aware of. And he wants to remove them from our lives. So that Jesus Christ can shine through. One of the things about the refiner's fire is that it's not a type of fire that brings destruction. It's not a type of fire that will completely just destroy an object. It is not a fire like you see in an incinerator where you stick something in it and it's just completely just blown to bits and pieces, right? It's just consumed. But the refiner's fire is a fire that purifies. It's a fire that brings purification. What it does is it melts down the bar of silver or gold and it separates out the impurities that ruin its value. And what does it do? It burns them up and leaves the silver and the gold intact. And so when God takes us through the furnace of affliction, his purpose behind it is to purify us, to be a people for himself, so that each and every one of us in this room who are representatives of the kingdom of God would be purified people. Purified people. So that when we go out into this world and we go into our workplace and to our schools and anywhere we go, people will see the reflection of Jesus Christ. That is God's purpose. That is God's purpose. The second thing is that the furnace reveals a side of the refiner that could not otherwise be known. You see, when God takes you through the fire, you get to know his character all the more better. When he takes you through the furnace. Isaiah 48:10 says, "Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction." This word testing means to prove. It means to examine. It means to take a real good, close look at. And what I have found to be true is that without these testings in our lives, we would never know his true capacity. We would never know his true capabilities in our lives. Unless we go through the fire furnace, the furnace of affliction, and unless we allow God to say, "Here's my life, take me and use me and do what you want with it, and if it travels through the path of fire, then so be it." If we never yield to God and say, "God, go ahead and do that with my life," you'll never be able to know his capacities and his capabilities. You'll know some of it, but there are parts of his power there can only be revealed as you go through the furnace. There are other parts of his character and his nature that are revealed in the furnace. You'll never be able to understand the power and the impact of rejoicing in your sufferings if you don't suffer. To know the strength of God to endure, where he gives you his strength for endurance through that time. You'll never know a peace that you can't even begin to explain to people. You just know that it was there when you were in the furnace of affliction. and joy in your sufferings? Only if you go through the furnace of affliction will you understand what that truly means and the beauty behind rejoicing and praising Him in your sufferings. I look out amongst you and I know that there's so many people here who have been through the furnace of affliction numerous times. God has taken you through them over and over and over again. And I want you to remember that it is not God's wrathful hand upon your life. This is so important that you know this. This is not God's wrathful hand and says, because you're a bad boy or girl, I'm going to send you through this fire. It is the love, the grace, the mercy, and the compassion of God that takes you through these fires. Because it is His desire to purify you and refine you to be a vessel of honor that brings glory to Him everywhere you go, so that when people look at you, they see the reflection of His Son. Number three, the furnace reveals the impurities of your life. He says, I will bring them through the fire, and I will refine them as fire, as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. If you're wondering this morning if God tests people, the answer is yes. God tests humanity. He tests humanity. King David knew about this, and he says it plain and directly in Psalm 11:5. The Lord tests the righteous and the wicked, it says. And there were even times when King David even requested to be tested. He says, God, I want you to open me up and do a spiritual autopsy within me. In Psalm 139, 23, he says, search me, O Lord, search me. Open me up, look and examine the deepest parts of my being. Know my heart, he says, test me. And know my anxious thoughts and see if there is any offensive way within me. God, open me up. Reveal those sins that are deeply embedded within me that I'm oblivious to, the ones that I have no idea that are even there. Reveal them. Bring them to the surface, God, so that I can glorify you with my life. He's asking God to search him for sin and to point it out. You see, we don't recognize things like envy. We don't recognize things like greed all the time. We don't recognize things like laziness and pride. We don't see those things within us all the time because they're so deeply rooted within us, right? I mean, we're quick to point them out in others because it's obviously easy to see it in other people. But for the most part, we're blinded to those deeply rooted sins. We could be staring it right in the face. We could be staring it dead in the face and not even recognize it. But what I'm saying to you this morning is that if you yield your life to God and willingly allow Him to take you through the furnace of afflictions, where you're tried and you're tested and you're refined through the complicated, the difficult, the devastating moments of life, He is going to reveal those things in your life. And I know some of you may be thinking, okay, all right, now when I was preparing this message, I was thinking this. All right, let's weigh this out real quick. You got a furnace of fire, and then I'm going to be shown what areas I lack in. Now, this is definitely a lose-lose situation, isn't it? Got to go through this fire of devastation and the trials and tribulations of life, and at the same time, I'm going to see where I fall short. This is not going to be so good here. What are you getting at, Pastor? What's good about this? What's good about this? God uses the trials and afflictions for believers to be purified. And He shows us what's truly within us. And He reveals the things within us that are worthless waste. Those components of the precious metal that our scum, the dirt that gets removed, the dross. And through the furnace of affliction, He draws to the surface those impurities and He clears them away so that all that we are left with is complete and solitary trust in Him. Because when you're in that furnace of affliction, you have nothing left but say, God, I trust you with this. I trust you with this. I can't explain it. I can't even really sense your hearing. I can't sense your voice. I don't sense your presence as close right now. It's painful. It's devastating. It's the world's just upside down. But God, I trust you. Nonetheless, I trust you. Trials and afflictions, they make, you know, very little sense to us when we're in the midst of them. And at first they seem just like these unnecessary perils of inconvenience and hurt and devastation. But know this, I want you to leave here with this. Please know that they have a purpose. And that purpose is guided by the gracious, loving, compassionate hand of your God. And that purpose is to refine you. To refine you, to remove those impure things so that all that can be seen left is Jesus Christ. And the promise of God is this, is that he will work all things together. He will work all things together for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. And finally, the furnace is necessary, but it's temporary. But the results are eternal. The furnace is necessary, but temporary, and the results are eternal. What we're talking about this morning, if you haven't picked up on it yet, is that to yield your heart, your mind, your life, your entire being to the Lord. Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 12, 1. He says, to offer ourselves as living sacrifices to God. Offer our bodies as living sacrifices. What that word means is your entirety, your mind, your will, your emotions, your physicality, all of that. And say, God, here is it all. And I'm letting you do what you want to do with it. My life is not mine to live for myself. You died for this life. You have redeemed me. You have purchased my life. And out of a gratitude and a thankful heart, God, use my life in whatever way you see fit. Purify my life so that I can glorify you. And he says to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That word means to be, it's metamorpho. It means to be, it's like where we get the word metamorphosis, to be transformed from one form into another. And that's what we're committing to God corporately and collectively as the body of Christ. Because we want to be the body of Christ. We want to be a beautiful representation of God's kingdom here on this earth, don't we? We are kingdom people, children of the King. And it is our desire to reflect his kingdom here on this earth. And so you're not, there's nothing that happens by chance. You are not a victim. You are simply a child of the King. And the child of the King, in his loving, gracious, merciful, compassionate hand, at times will take us through the fire, the furnace of affliction, so that all of our impurities are removed, so that all that is left is Jesus Christ. Anthony, are you here? Thanks, man. Could you come on up and just play some music? I want just yourself. Just yourself will be fine. Everybody else can stay. But I want to give you an opportunity to respond to this because I think that you know when you hear the Word of God, there should be, or when you read the Word of God, there should be a time of reflection. When you're reading the Word of God or when you're hearing the Word of God on Sunday mornings or any other sermon, take time to marinate on it. Take time to allow it to sink in. I don't know if it's a problem, but one of the difficulties of the world that we live in, and everything's just quick and our attention just gets distracted all the time. So I want to give you just a moment to reflect on this message because I know, here's what I know. I don't know a lot, but I know this. That God is loving and he loves each and every person in this room. He is the most loving God. And I can't even put it into words. And we really can't, but we have that image of Jesus Christ on the cross, the pinnacle of his love to to mankind. And I know that God is gracious. His grace is so expansive that it blows your mind. That even when those times of doubt, we all have them. It's probably one of the most difficult things that we go through as believers, is believing this every single day. But His grace carries you. There's grace for those days when it's hard to believe. And His grace carries you through the furnace of affliction. And so I want you to take comfort in this, because I know that there can be fear within some people of this, of letting God just have His way with your entire being. Because there are times when He will take you through the furnace to be refined. And so I want you to take comfort in this, and that is that God has always been there. You may find yourself in the furnace right now. I want to let you know that God is with you in the furnace. His presence is with you right now in the furnace. As an eternal God who's not bound by our understanding of time, He's with you in the fire. And at the same time, He's also waiting on the other side with open arms and a smile on His face. So He's with you in the furnace, and He's on the other side as an eternal God. He's already on the other side, and He's waiting with a smile. Come here, my child. Come here, my child. Come here, my child. He's already been where you are. He knows how it will play out. Let me just remind you this morning that His ways are perfectly good. Good and perfect plan. He knows His good and perfect plan, and He will see to it that His good and perfect plan turns out the way He wants it to. In Malachi chapter 3, it says that God will sit as a refiner and as a purifier of silver. Well, why is this significant? Why is it significant? I want you to imagine God as the refiner, right? The one who takes His precious metal through the furnace. And I want you to imagine Him sitting there. Charles Spurgeon once said this. He said, "The refiner is never far from the mouth of the furnace when his gold is in the fire. And the Son of God is always walking in the flames when His holy children are cast into them." You see, in the refining process, something I didn't mention is that the refiner does not remove himself from the fire. He does not place it in the fire and walk away. He can't do that. Because there's an important part of the refining process that takes place, and that is that he needs to keep his eyes on the precious metal the whole time. Because if he takes his eyes off it for one moment too long, and the precious metal is exposed to flames 1 second too long, it'll destroy the metal. God is the refiner who is sitting as a refiner and as a purifier of silver. So not only is He sitting with you as you go through the fire, the furnace of afflictions, but He's got His eyes on you. He's with you, and He's got His eyes on you every single moment that you're in there. God knows what's best for us. And there's going to be times when this path to purity will travel through the fire. But when you understand above all else that His purposes and His plans and His ways are perfect and good, and when you do not remove the character of God as being compassionate, gracious, merciful, and loving, you have to combine that. You have to see what we're talking about here, and you have to combine it with the heart of the Father. And when you're able to see that, and you're able to understand that it is His desire to bring forth the best of Him within you, He wants to bring forth the best of Himself within you. Jesus Christ in you, He wants to draw forth. So that everybody sees Jesus when they see your life. And when you understand that He's good and gracious and loving and merciful, then you're able to reject the fear that stands in the way. And you're able to surrender and yield it all to God and submit your life to God and say, God, here I am again. Here I am again. God, thank you for the fire. I thank you for the fire that you have me in. I thank you for the fire that you just brought me through. I thank you for the fire that's just up ahead. I love you. God, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. You see, I want you to see that this is a redemptive act. This is a redemptive act where God renews all things and purifies all things to himself. This is part of his redemptive plans. And so the key in all of this is one word, and that's trust. It's trust. When you know who God is, you know the heart of the Father, you know his purposes, you know his plans for you are good, that has only got your best interests at heart. Do you trust him enough to take you through the fire? Do you trust him enough to know that he's not going to leave you in the fire and walk away, but that he's going to sit there with you? And all the pain and all the hurt and all the devastation that it is. And he's going to keep his eyes on you. Do you trust that in all of his ways, they are good for you? Maybe you find yourself in the furnace today, and maybe God has turned up the heat in your life. I don't know. I know where some of you are, because some of you have told me. And I know that there are people in this room right now who are in the furnace. And if so, let me just encourage you that he is compassionate. He is merciful. He is gracious. He is loving, Father. So yield to his work in your life. Don't reject it. Don't deny it. Don't defy it. Don't fight it. Don't ignore it. Yield yourself to God's work of grace in your life. Trust him and allow him to finish his work. And then you come out on the other side, a vessel of honor that has been purified for his glory. Amen? Amen. I'm going to read one last passage of scripture as we close. And then I want you just to just take a few moments and I want you to reflect on this as Anthony continues to play. I'm going to close with the passage of scripture in Psalms. And I'm going to read the whole thing. So if you want to just close your eyes with me, just go ahead and everyone bow your heads and close your eyes and just allow yourself to listen to these words. Allow yourself to listen to these words. These are important words. Ready? It says, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart, take courage. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. I prayed to the Lord and he answered me and he freed me from all of my fears. And those who look upon him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened, and he saved me from all of my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is our God. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. So taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you, his godly people. For those who fear him will have all they need. Even strong young lions sometimes need go hungry. But those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. So come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord. Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open for for their cries for help. The Lord hears His people when they call to Him for help. He rescues them from all of their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues them whose spirits are crushed. The righteous person faces many troubles. Another translation says many afflictions. But the Lord comes to the rescue each time. I'm going to read that again. The righteous person will face many afflictions, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. And the Lord will protect the bones of the righteous, and not one of them will be broken. And the Lord will redeem those who serve Him. No one who takes refuge in Him will be condemned. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You first and foremost for showing us how much You love us by sending Jesus to die on the cross for us. Lord, there's nothing we will ever have to do to earn Your salvation, but You have saved us by Your grace. We don't deserve it, but we thank You for it, God. Lord, I thank You that all of Your ways are good and all of Your ways are perfect, and that You have secured a future that will never be tarnished or fade away or is imperishable. God, You include us in that future. We have already been included because of Your acceptance of us through Jesus Christ. You've included us as Your eternal children. And we're going to live together forever with You. So God, here we are. We find ourselves at this place in eternity, at this very spot in eternity, where we inhabit this place called earth. Lord, we know that we are citizens of Your kingdom, but we inhabit this place called earth. And God, it is our heart's desire, as it is Your heart's desire, to reflect Your kingdom as best as possible in this world that is full of people who are hurting, people who are lost, people who do not know You, people who are in jeopardy of being separated from You for eternity. God, we want to glorify Your name. And Lord, I know that when people see us go through the fire that You've put us in, the furnaces of affliction, and when they see that we trust You with the results, and they see that we trust You and we depend on You and that we cry out to You, even in the furnace, God, people are going to notice that. And You're going to get all the fame, You're going to get all the glory. And God, at the same time, You're going to reveal the things in our lives, the impurities in our lives that are so deeply embedded that we're oblivious to them. And so, God, I ask You for this body of people, the body of Christ right here, this collective body of people in Delaware County. Lord, may this be a year of refinement for us. And if you're in agreement, just pray this in your heart as well. And I'm asking You to refine me. I'm asking You to reveal the things within me that I'm just completely oblivious to and bring them to the surface, so God, so that they can be discarded, so that I can shine brighter for You. I thank You for Your love for each and every single person in this room right now. I thank You, Lord, that You are doing an amazing work of grace within each and every heart right now. And Lord, You're dispelling fear right now, the fear of letting go and yielding to Your will. Lord, I thank You for Your peace, Your joy, love, Your gracious and compassionate hand. I pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. And if you agree with me today, go ahead and just say amen. Amen and amen. So what I want to do now is I just want to leave the sanctuary open for people.